for me in retail, when I look back, that was the case. If I wanted to jump ahead and become a district manager somewhere, there was 8 or 10 other great store managers, and maybe one of us would get that chance. And the cool thing that I want people to realize in network marketing is that whatever skill set you have currently in a job you're doing is probably very, very transferable.
You're listening to the Embrace Simplified podcast, where you will be inspired to unlock simpler, healthier ways to live your life. I'm a corporate ladder climber turned entrepreneur on a mission to help busy women feel their best. I'm bringing you real conversation with all my favorites, and we're talking wellness, relationships, money, business, career, and even parenting. I want you to laugh and cry, learn and grow right alongside me. I'm your host, Kirsty. Let's keep it real. Pour your coffee and turn it up. Together, we are going to simplify our life.
Hey guys, it's almost holiday time of year, and I wanted to remind you that one of the things that I've done for many years is help people put together Christmas gifts, holiday gifts, hostess gifts for those friends and family that might be tricky to buy for. So most of the products that I sell with doTERRA are like diffusers, essential oils, lots of roller balls that you can just pick up and use and you need nothing else. We can put something together that feels really good within your budget and that will be such a thoughtful, special thing for you to gift. I also have helped many business owners put together packages that work within their budget when they have to give to lots of people. So if you're a real estate agent, a mortgage broker, or a leader in a corporate environment, I have so many solutions for you. From $20 right through to $200, we can package things up, get them shipped directly to your clients or your customers or your employees. And it's super, super simple. So reach out if you need some creative solutions this year for gift giving. Not only are you supporting me and my beautiful business, you're also just giving something that is such a beautiful, thoughtful thing to give to someone because they use it in their home, right? And we're all spending more time in and around our home. And it's just, I think, essential oils and things that can support your sleep, your kids, your mental health, even your immunity or your general mood, like things that are going to encourage self-care and spending time, just slow, relaxed time at home, being cozy. Those are great gifts to give this year. So reach out, send me a DM on Instagram or shoot me an email through the show link in the podcast. And I look forward to talking with you and look forward to helping you create some solutions that are going to work for you this year. Hey guys, we're back with another episode of the Embrace Simplified podcast. And today we are talking with Susan Bursick. Susan is online at Susan Bursick or at Time for Lime. It's not time, T-I-M-E, it's time, like the herb. She started the Thrive Life community when her son was born and built a beautiful community of women that want to thrive in their health and wellness and life. And I was introduced to Susan through my doTERRA business. So she has this beautiful online presence and she shares so much about fashion. And like this girl can put an outfit together, you guys. I absolutely love her tips. I love the things that she finds and what she shares online when it comes to fashion. It makes me want to just do a better job of putting myself together. And then she also runs a business and account all about essential oils. And she has such a cozy home and she invites you into her home and shares with you how she's integrating these beautiful tools into her home. So I know you guys are going to want to follow her. All the links are in the show notes. And anything that we reference is also in the show notes for you guys. And this is one of those conversations where it's like mom to mom, entrepreneur to entrepreneur. Let's sit down and just have a catch up and hit record. I think you guys are going to really love this conversation. She's got lots of great juicy tips and nuggets to share, and I hope that you enjoy the time spent chatting with Susan and I.
So, okay, tell us about
your career or the highlights or what stands out to you, you know how those like little dots connect and you end up here and you're like, oh, it's actually not surprising that I'm here. But along the way, we had no idea. I want to hear that story.
Oh, that's a great way to put it, because it was very much unplanned. But you're right. When I look back on it, I'm like, everything happened in the right order in order for me to be where I'm feeling most content as a mom. I would start like way, way back and say that I always knew as a kid that I wanted to have kids. I loved babysitting. I taught Sunday school. I taught swimming lessons. I just always was very comfortable sharing messages or sharing things with groups, I guess. I've actually never even said that out loud. I'm just kind of having that little aha moment right now, which is funny. And that's something I love sometimes about having a chat on a podcast is you're like, oh, yeah, I guess that's true about me. I just never put words to it. But when I back the truck up, I'm like, yeah, I always loved spending time with kids. So I always knew motherhood. Like I never had to question, is that something that I want for myself? It was a for sure. And I also grew up always thinking that I would just be a teacher. And somewhere along the lines with a high school guidance counselor, I somehow got steered away from that. And I don't even know why that happened. Or maybe I, you know, happened to have a guidance counselor who was a bit bitter about their career choice. I have no idea. But I had a part-time job in high school working in retail. So I worked for Mark's Work Warehouse. And I can remember being like about 15 years old. And my mom dropped me off in front of the store. And I kind of assumed she might go in and deliver my resume for me. And she was like, no, this is on you. You know, so looking back, like I grew up in the country. So I feel very grateful that I had, you know, parents who were willing to drive me into town to have a part-time job. So started working at Mark's Work Warehouse. Loved that. Like I loved being around clothing. I loved interacting with customers. I loved merchandising and playing around with things and just kind of like being in a little bit of a business as a high school student. You know, my classmates and people from school, they'd come in and they'd buy their Levi jeans there and their Wind River jackets and, you know, striped rugby shirts. That's maybe dating me a little bit if you can picture your mid-90s high school wardrobe. Yeah. And so I felt cool, you know, working there, of course, because that's where everybody came to get their clothes in the town I lived anyways. And then that kind of opened up a door when I was trying to decide what I was going to do after high school, that I stumbled upon a program at Fanshawe called Fashion Merchandising. And it was just sort of an overview of like all things retail, design, creativity, business, all under the umbrella of sort of fashion. And that all of a sudden was like, yep, that is what I meant to do. I know that I love being in a retail space and want to learn more about. And so took that program at Fanshawe. Within about my first like month of having moved to London, I realized it wasn't a great use of time trying to go back home to Chatham every weekend to keep my part-time job there. And so I applied for a job at The Gap. Kind of, I would say it was in November, right before their Christmas hire. And I would say that one decision there kind of snowballed and spiraled what the majority of my career looked like up until I became a mom. So then I had my part-time job at The Gap. And when I finished my program at Fanshawe, was promoted into a management job there and kind of bounced back and forth between a couple of different stores and really just learned a lot. I had some great mentors, some great examples of women in leadership roles. You know, it was a fast-paced store with a lot of staff, like just a very different retail experience than what we find today when we go into a mall. Like I remember we would hire upwards of 60 or 70 people for a holiday season. And now when you go into a store, you know, you're lucky if you maybe interact with one or two people. It's very bare bones. And, you know, there was no such thing as online shopping back then. I remember we would take orders from people over a phone and then I would get in my car and drive and deliver it to their door if it was, you know, something they couldn't get into the store for. So it's just kind of neat when you look back at how much retail has changed over the years. But I loved, loved, loved it. I loved that every day was different. My shifts were always different. I loved trying to find people that were a good fit for working with customers. Worked a lot of crazy overnight shifts, as you know, maybe people in retail or people outside of retail don't understand that a lot of what you walk into and see in a store happens overnight in the middle of the night. And so it was just really, really exciting. And from there, after about 5 or 6 years, I bounced over to American Eagle Outfitters. And then I worked there for about 7 or 8 years up until I had my first baby. And interestingly enough, I always assumed that I would just continue to follow the path of climbing the ladder in the retail world. And I had decided I was going to, you know, kind of put myself out there, and I wanted to have a position kind of on a grander scope. And I took a risk and went out and did some interviewing for some other companies. And I was offered a job with Roots, which when I had applied, I thought it was going to be in the area where I lived. And they ended up offering me kind of a downtown Toronto area of stores. And my husband and I were like, okay, that wasn't really what we saw for ourselves, but you know, we hadn't started our family yet. And we thought we can roll with this. And so I did my 2-week orientation with them, and we were trying to figure out, like, would we, you know, both move down to Toronto? Would I kind of commute? What was that going to look like for us? And came home after that 2-week stint and found out we were pregnant. And within literally 30 seconds, I knew that living in Toronto and running crazy all over the stores, all over the hours, the holidays, the weekends, was just not in alignment with that gift I had just received to find out that we were going to start a family. And so, long story short, you know, went through my pregnancy, had my first son, Marco. This was in 2012. And then proceeded to spend that entire maternity leave stressing out about how can I stay home with this baby? How can I make him the priority? Can't fathom going back to working nights and weekends and holidays. And, you know, I'm sure almost every brand new mother has been there, where your priorities are just all of a sudden feel so different, somewhat foreign, but you have this yearning to want to be family mom first. But then there's that financial piece, right? Like, how do I continue to, you know, have some financial independence? How do I continue to, like, bring some income into our household? And so I was super lucky to have a husband who was very supportive of that decision of wanting to do something else. And, you know, we kind of gave ourselves a little bit of a time to figure out what that might look like. And so I didn't go back to retail, but I did work for a few months at TD Bank, because I thought, hey, I can take my customer service skills, work shorter shifts, still be interacting with people and bring in a little bit of income. If you bank at TD, you might know that they have really great hours, really great banking hours, which meant I was still working a lot of nights and weekends. And I was like, oh, geez, we're kind of back in the same sort of mess that we were trying to avoid. And so that then kind of led me to go back to, like, what was it that I loved doing as a kid? What was it that I had always imagined doing as a kid? I guess what we, you know, just talked about when we opening, and it was like teaching in some capacity and working with kids. And we had just moved into a new home that was kind of set up perfectly to be able to operate a home daycare. That was going to then allow me to still work with kids, do a little bit of, like, you know, teaching in some capacity, be home with my son, which was my number one puzzle piece that I was trying to solve. And so that opened up the door of what it felt like to work from home and bring in some income. And it was a perfect fit. And then I was introduced to network marketing during this time. And it was kind of, let's see, make sure I'm not kind of jumping all over the place. It was kind of that perfect blend of, okay, this is something that I at the time it was with a different company, but it was like, here's a product I need. Here's a product I'm interested in. Oh, I see how these cool women are, like, doing this on the side of all of their busy, you know, busy lives and other jobs and motherhood. And I'm already working from home, so this is, you know, something that I can kind of share. And yeah, that just then, of course, spiraled into the next piece of what was going to be the perfect fit for me as a mom. And quickly realized that it was far more enjoyable for me to have complete freedom over my day and complete freedom over time with my kids, you know, because even though you're running a home daycare and you're working in your home, you've now got maybe 4, 5, 6 families who are depending on you to have a very set schedule. And so there were all just all these different experiences that just kind of, like, sort of unwrapped and revealed themselves at the right time. And I guess what I would say about the way my husband and I have always looked at things and how they fit in our life is just sort of like being open to sit back and reassessing, you know, every so often, like, is this thing that we're doing or this thing we said yes to or this thing we're signed up to, is it still working for us now? And are we willing to tweak or do something different or take a different path? And so we've always just kind of like sort of done that, you know, not with much intention, but you know what it's like when you start to feel that friction where it's like everything's just kind of like running on a hamster wheel in your house and, you know, you're coming and going and spinning your wheels and maybe things aren't just feeling grounded and calm anymore. And so it's really easy to let those like days, weeks, and months and sometimes turn into years. But I guess if there's anything I would say take away from that message is just to like have a finger on the pulse of like how your household is feeling. And are you feeling you and your partner are stressed and snappy because you've got too many things on the go or you've stretched yourselves too thin? And we had plenty of, you know, periods of time when we had first started our family and our boys were young and juggling a daycare and then trying to grow a network marketing business. And he was juggling a couple of jobs at the same time. And you might think that that's what you just have to do to have this like hustle mentality of getting your life going as a young family, but it's so okay to stop and say, whoa, is there something here we could let go of so that we get a little bit of like peace and grounding back into our household? Because nobody else is going to come and wave that sign at you or say, hey, it's chaotic in here. You gotta slow things down. So just, yeah, being willing to like have that conversation with your family and with your partner and say, oh, do we want to keep going down this like hamster wheel path? Or is there something we want to tweak here so that we get more of like what we find to be of most value in our household back to a priority?
Yeah. I love that. I love that advice because I noticed that you said that Dan was really supportive of finding something that allowed you to be home. Right. And I'm like, that's not always the case, but also it's like kind of an amazing luxury for him too. Right. Where he gets to have his kids stay home and not be in daycare and gets to have somebody that's like running the household while he's working. But I love that you just gave people permission to stop and like reflect and see if it's working. And I love that you brought it up as something that you do together, because sometimes like working the multiple jobs or like always leaving the house and working isn't working for the spouse, right? And so it gives them an opportunity to be like, actually, like I can't keep traveling a lot, or I can't keep like working so many hours or something. I love that. It doesn't sound like, you said you didn't do it with much intention, but it seems like such an intentional thing for you to do.
Yeah, I guess that piece comes down to if you're, and I don't know whether I would say I really, like, there's always a question, like, how well do we really know ourselves? But I think if you're at least giving yourself that permission to say, is everything feeling, I always come back to the word content. Like, am I feeling content right now? Or am I feeling like we're like constantly stretching, reaching, just barely keeping our head above water? And, you know, if you're listening to this, you probably know the difference, right? You know the difference between when your house feels like it's just humming and everything's, I mean, there's always ups and downs and unexpected when you're raising kids and in a marriage, but there's also that difference of like, okay, we're doing things that we enjoy. And I feel like I'm being as much of a peaceful, calm mom as possible. That's also always a good temperature gauge for me is, am I getting stressed and short with my kids? That is usually my biggest red flag to look back and say, okay, what have I got going on that I've stretched myself too thin with, or that I'm maybe not feeling really fulfilled with right now? And who is that trickling out to? Who does it usually trickle out to, right? The people we share our home with, they take the brunt of when things are not feeling settled within. And I think that's something that as like moms that we can always be just having an awareness or a willingness to keep fine tuning is to listen to that inner contentment and realize like who takes the brunt of you not feeling content with yourself. And I think that's a big responsibility and gift that we're given as women and parents is to just be willing to do that work, be willing to take a step back or go out of your comfort zone. Because when we are like fulfilled and happy and feeling like we're doing something that brings us joy, everybody else in your family gets the benefit of that.
I love that. There was a time I remember where I was like, I told myself it was my season to just put my head down and bring in the paycheck. That was what I had to do. It was like longer term, like this makes sense. And that was okay. Like I've told women, it was okay. But then there was a point where it wasn't okay, but I didn't stop and check in with myself. So then I let it go like another 6 months or another 8 months, realizing that I was like really unhappy about this decision. That's such a great reminder to stop and check in and be real with yourself. And I was like, I was feeling really uncomfortable in that pace and with my head down, just collecting this paycheck, but I didn't stop and check in with myself for like a really long time.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope, right? When we get too focused on financial needs or even just the responsibility, right? Like sometimes it just, the responsibility just does fall on you or even you and a partner together to have to make ends meet. But I think that's kind of one of the hidden blessings that you and I would both agree having a network marketing business on the side can be for somebody. And I remember several years ago when I first learned about network marketing, having a mentor say to me, sometimes having this business that you're kind of just doing, you know, for fun because you like the time with the girlfriends and you like talking about things that you enjoy and sharing them with people. Sometimes that little business, what it's doing is preparing you for future impact. And I remember not really understanding what that possibly meant at the time, but impact could be job loss. Impact could be somebody in your family gets ill and it falls on you to be the person to take care of them. Impact could be something unexpected that happens with a child or in your household, or God forbid, a pandemic, right? How many of us would never have pictured that happening, and how many things that has allowed people either like the forced decision to have to look at what they want to do going forward, or maybe it was your time to say, oh, I want now my future to look a little bit different. But that was kind of what I always kept in the back of my head as I was nurturing my own network marketing business, is that if it was something that really allowed me to just take like my best skill sets that I get to decide how I want to use them and sort of pay that out forward, either to people that want to have an experience with the products or want to do a business similar to this, it can be a huge, huge blessing and a huge sort of little safety cushion to fall if you need to tweak what you're doing or you need to step back and say, oh man, those hours in that job that I've been just killing myself at for the last 5 years and my family is suffering and my relationships are suffering. It can be a really cool little detour for people to look at. And I think the important part to remember about it is that it's not an overnight change, and it's not an overnight like blessing of income. But if it's something that you're able to nurture because there's parts of it that you truly do enjoy and you have an awareness of how to build it in the right way so that it can financially support you, it can be there so that you have a different choice 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road.
Yes. Oh, I love that. That long term, like nurturing something that's built longer term, is such a good reality of network marketing. And I love the how you dig into that in your podcast too. So if people are wanting like more really tangible ways of like staying focused on income generating activities and things like that, then the She's Got a Gift podcast is really great. So we'll make sure that we link that in the show notes for them. So you're building this network marketing business and you are there at like a pretty pivotal time because Susan is a founder in our company. So you were like, was it really intense? Was it like a wild roller coaster? And when you finally came up for air, like tell us about that experience.
Yeah, I really didn't know. There's kind of a term I've always heard in network marketing, ignorance on fire, where it's just like, you get in it and you're like, this is so cool. I can't believe I'm getting paid to like hang out with people and teach them how to use cool health products. It's like, there's that sweet spot in the beginning where if it's like the thing that lights you up, it's just, you almost can't believe that there's an opportunity to get paid to do the work. And so I would say I just really, really soaked in that first couple of years of just loving the opportunity to build something for me. If I had to look back and say, like, what was the difference that allowed it to just sort of grow at the pace that it did, it's because I had zero doubt that it wasn't a very legit way for me to feel fulfilled supporting my family. I am quite financially motivated, and so I really made sure that I understood how to maximize the compensation plan. And I will say, a lot of people that come into network marketing never actually give themselves the opportunity to understand fully how to max out a compensation plan. And that is sometimes the biggest difference between just getting paid like a hobby, you know, you're sharing products and you're just kind of like, just staying in sort of like the the easy comfort level of sharing and earning a bit of commission. But every network marketing company is set up very, very strategically to reward you financially if you are willing to help other people get started with their own businesses, have the confidence to like step into a bit of a leadership role, and to really, I always call it like a pay it forward type of commission plan. And I love that there's a spot for almost anybody to fit in at whatever pace or income level they want. But if you're somebody listening to this and you're like, oh, I really actually am quite interested in like completely changing my career path, or maybe there's an actual financial need where you're like, hey, $1,000, $2,000 a month would make an incredible difference in our household right now, definitely take time to poke holes in and learn and ask all the questions you need about the compensation plan. And for me, I knew that I wanted to be able to let go of running a home daycare because I was starting to see that there still was quite a bit of like hold on my time. And, you know, there's wear and tear on your house. And ultimately, I was finding that after taking care of several toddlers throughout the day, by the time all those moms and dads came and picked those kiddos up at like 5 o'clock, I was spent and I just didn't have the energy for my own family and my own role as a mom. And so there's all these little clues and cues that I feel like the career you're in right now could be giving you that you can say, okay, what else is there that I could do that doesn't leave me feeling drained, that doesn't leave me feeling spread too thin, that fills my cup in a way that if I could design my perfect day, it allows me to do that. And so I just knew that the business that I was in with network marketing was filling all those gaps for me and had a huge financial reward if I would continue building it and not second guess its legitimacy in being a real true business that could support a family.
That's really good advice. What do you wish people knew about network marketing as a whole that you feel like they need to like either change the way they're looking at it, or is there anything that you have there? Because obviously it's an industry where there's lots of myths and lots of like, maybe people have had a poor experience or something, and, or their like great uncle had a poor experience 20 years ago, but they've carried that myth of what network marketing is around in their head. Tell us what you wish people knew.
Yeah. I love busting the myths because oftentimes I find that those just come from like not really being educated about the business model. But I think one of the most interesting things is that just about any job somebody does in the world these days is set up with a very similar business model. You're probably out there either offering a service or offering education or serving people in some way. And there's probably somebody above you who had to teach you that skill set. But in most traditional jobs, it's very unlikely that you end up getting to take that next higher level, or maybe you're competing with half a dozen other people. And for me in retail, when I look back, that was the case. If I wanted to jump ahead and become a district manager somewhere, there was 8 or 10 other great store managers, and maybe one of us would get that chance. And the cool thing that I want people to realize in network marketing is that whatever skill set you have currently in a job you're doing is probably very, very transferable. Whether you're a teacher or a nurse, or you sell real estate, or you work in healthcare somewhere, chances are you're having to market yourself in some way as the person to come to for business or for a sale or for job security or for that next promotion that you're, you know, going for. So you're already doing that. Chances are you've got a group of people that you help supervise or take care of, or you go into a classroom and you teach people, or you work in a hospital and you take care of patients all day. So it's just breaking down that like a network marketing business model is not really that different structure-wise than a day-to-day job, but there's unlimited potential to be able to write your own salary, your own paycheck, your own bonuses, grow an organization as big or small as you want, rise up and take whatever promotion you want. So it's just getting people to understand it's not that different, but the benefits are so much greater.
Yeah, the potential is so much greater for sure. And I love that it's like, I think I read somewhere that in the United States, there's more female millionaires network marketing than in any other industries. It's like a level playing field, whether you had 10 years of education or 2 years of education. Like it's so much is driven by your, like you said, your your belief and your conviction and your motivation and things like that, that it kind of, it brings everybody to a level playing field. There's got to be so many people in retail right now that are like, this is not what I signed up for. We've both had careers in retail and hospitality, and those industries are like changed forever. I hope that people see that there's so many other ways to diversify and earn income and things like that. For me, my first ever experience outside of corporate was being a landlord. And so then I was like, oh, like there's other ways that my parents never did that I could do to help me get ahead. And then it was network marketing because I was so passionate about the products. But if you've used an influencer code in like the last 2 weeks, then like there's really not that much different than buying a product that you really love from your friend who sells it than it is using that person's influencer code, right? But people still have some hesitations around like, I don't know, you don't have like a retail storefront, so I'm not sure, how does this work?
Totally. And I feel like you and I are kind of in that age group right now where it's like we grew up with the old school way of doing things. We probably, anybody in our age group has had a job or a career where it was very traditional, and online options and ways of doing business and purchasing things are still relatively new in our lives compared to, you know, how we, you know, first started out as young adults. But then there's this whole new age group that's growing up that only knows online, that only knows instant gratification, that only knows purchasing through somebody they know, like, and trust. And so I find like it's so interesting to compare like the timing of things and the age of people and what people coming up younger than us are going to have a comfort level with. But you're right, our age group, right, where it's taken longer to kind of grasp doing a business this way, it's absolutely not going anywhere. And people are looking for more flexibility and quality time in their home and ownership over where they spend their time and who they spend their time with. And it's really liberating to be like, I'm not going to just tolerate what I was always told I had to do or the only way I was ever taught I could make money. And I'm not going to tolerate that I have to work 8-10 hours outside of my home and miss my kids' sports and be like so tired when I get home from work that I don't have the patience to hang out with them and really hear about their day. Like, there's so many things you don't have to tolerate anymore in your life if you're willing to open up your eyes to just different ways of doing business and earning an income.
Oh, I love that. One of the things that I think I've seen, now I've only seen this from the outside, but what I see is that every so often you really lean into like creative things that you love to do. And I wondered if this is intentional. Like, do you do this to spark creativity or to like keep variety? So I've seen you like do beautiful jewelry. I know you're super passionate about fashion. And tell us more about that. Like, is there intentionality behind that? Or are you like, nah, I just do what I want to do?
A little bit of, I just do what I want to do. Here's something that, like, from a vulnerability standpoint, again, when you come back to the thing, it's like, okay, if everything was taken away and you had to do only what brings you the truest amount of joy, like for me, fashion and playing with outfits and having a creative outlet that way would be the thing that I could do rain or shine 365 days a year, never get tired of it. I'm that person who can remember every single first day of school outfit I ever wore through public school and high school. Like, it's just something that I truly enjoy to my core. And for some reason, I would say that it has been the piece that I have held back the most in actually finding a way to make it be something that I can financially create for myself. As odd as that sounds, it's like I was able to take network marketing and say, oh, I have a skill set from this and this and this, and I can just plug it into this business, and it's not too tied to me, like personally, that I'm going to get scared if it doesn't work or have any doubts or like not show up as my best self, oddly. But then, yeah, when it comes to like my actual creative outlets and passions, that's where I'm like, ooh, do I go all in or do I just dabble? And so, yeah, that's like a complete work in progress for me, where I only recently just really got comfortable like posting outfits that I wear and just showing that side of me, I guess. It's really bizarre. So I totally get and understand that there will always be things that are like make your heart sing that are the scariest sometimes to find a way to turn into something.
I know. One of the things that I've talked about a couple times on the podcast is my therapist and a couple of friends have like nudged me to start painting. And I'm like, but if I'm just painting, but I'm not like making money from it, then like, why does it get airtime in my life? Like, why would I do that if I'm not going to sell it? And then they're like, because it's just the process of like just leaning into something that you really love to do. And I'm like, I don't know. But I love watching you. I love watching you post your outfits because it's very educational for me as somebody who basically my wardrobe consists of like Joe Fresh pieces that I snuck into the grocery order.
We've all done that. Oh, it was a really, really big grocery bill this week.
I'm like, oh gosh. But one time I did like an audit of my closet when one of my girlfriends was doing some stuff to do with closet organization. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like there isn't a pair of jeans right now that's not from Old Navy. There's like only, it was so sad, Susan. So when you post, I'm like, oh man, I should go shopping. I should get that third piece, or I should just buy the running shoes that Susan's wearing. I don't know. What would you say? Because like, you've always been so put together and had these beautiful outfits. What would you tell somebody like me who's like thinking maybe I turn 40 next year? Maybe this is like a new thing I want to. I grew up in retail. Like I did all the same stuff as you at The Gap for years, right? It's there.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question because I think there's a difference between when something just like brings you joy and you could look at pictures and inspiration. Honestly, my biggest cup filling day when I'm feeling depleted is send me to Sherway Mall or Yorkdale Mall and like give me 12 hours and I could literally shop and just I don't even have to be buying anything. I can just be in stores and looking around for 8 hours and I come home and I am so fulfilled. And then I'm like, okay, I'm ready to pour back into my work. So I guess there's a difference between when something like truly brings you joy, but I think that I love looking for inspiration online. So that's one of the like coolest things is that we can pick up our phone and find inspiration, ideas, links in a matter of 30 seconds. So I think it's one of the biggest things is to like identify how you like to feel in an outfit, whether you're like, you know, I need a few really funky things because when I put those on, I feel amazing. For me, I'm starting to learn that I've always had this tendency to buy like outfits for going out, but I don't go out that often anymore. So I end up with a closet full of things that really don't get much airtime. And I'm kind of like having this new aha moment for myself where it's like, no, I actually really like to be in something very comfortable. So how do I make it a little bit of an elevated version of comfortable and stop spending money on like blouses and skirts and things that really don't reflect my lifestyle anymore? So I think part of it is just identifying like, how do you want to feel when you put an outfit on? Finding somebody or a few people to follow online who have a similar body style or age to you, because it would be one thing for me, and I do still follow people that don't have my body style, but for me to like look at all kinds of like 5'10" size 2 people wearing a style that I like doesn't necessarily reflect back confidence to myself. So I think it's about finding a few people that, you know, have a similar shape, size, style that you like. Watch how they put things together. Just having intention around, I guess, what would be missing from your closet to give you some options. And that's something I've never really like taught on because I'm always so curious and soak up other people's knowledge and an area of expertise on that. I feel like I'm constantly trying to like, I have this dream to have a really minimalist closet where I have a capsule wardrobe and I don't have things that are like, literally, if you saw around me, I've got 3 or 4 totes of like out of season clothes. There's just too much, Christy, too much stuff. Yeah. So I think it's just taking an inventory on like, how do you want to feel? What are the pieces that a couple of things that would give you lots of options? What's a store or a brand whose values you really align with? Because I feel like there's even that with purchasing power, right? Like, sure, we all love to go through the Joe Fresh section and throw in some quick things, but I'm finding as I'm getting older, I'm starting to have more of an interest in like Canadian made things. And how do I, you know, maybe spend 3 times what I might on a sweater at Joe Fresh, but then I treat it with a little bit more respect. I have a little bit more appreciation for how it's made, the whole process. So there's so many different pieces of it that you can look and say, what is important to me when I get dressed And how do I spend a little bit more intentional time around that? And just kind of go from there. Because I think whether you like fashion or don't, we all like to at least put on an outfit and feel good. Yeah. And there's nothing like becoming a mom for the first time to have your body go, oh, hi, I'm not who you thought I was all these years. And that whole journey, right? So clothing and like outfits can be a real sore spot for people and women. And it's just, yeah, I guess it just depends on like what you're looking to get out of the experience of getting dressed and looking in your closet and how you want to feel when you step out somewhere.
Yeah, I love that because it's like for years I focused on how I wanted to feel in my home. And so it's natural, I guess, that I would also be like, I love that what you said. It's like, how do you want to feel when you leave the house and you get dressed? I want to feel like I stop comparing myself to everyone who looks put together at drop off.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm like, how are you looking like this at drop off? I'm like, I'm just hiding behind my coffee, like if I did my hair. But I think on the weekend, if I spent like an hour and we're not rushing out the door or something like that, I feel so much better. I want that, but easy, simple to reproduce on the weekdays. That's what I want.
Yes. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think it's just so natural in so many areas of our lives as women to compare and be like, oh, that looks amazing. Why don't I have that working for me? Or in all the areas.
Yeah. It's, I drop off the kids and usually go for a walk right now, at least while the weather's good. I just decided to just like, let go. I'm going for my walk. So that is what it is. Go for my walk. But I do have like the freedom to like come home and actually spend time getting ready and the kids aren't around and like, it feels really nice, but yeah, I'll get there. I think the first step for me was like clearing out all the stuff I actually don't wear that no longer suits my body or like you said, your lifestyle. And so I've like moved that all out. I've grieved that those clothes I no longer need. And so now I'm like slowly, very thoughtfully, like bringing back in pieces that I feel really good in. So I think I'm on the right track. So thank you.
Yeah, you totally are. And it's about like giving yourself grace, right? You don't have to look cool to drop your kids off and go for your walk. But if you get more joy out of having that like slow, peaceful opportunity to come home and have a shower and maybe throw some curls in your hair, like that's enjoyable for me too. I don't like the morning rush. So you won't see me waking up extra early to beat my kids to show up at drop off looking a certain way because I get more joy out of coming home and having a slower shower. And yeah, and then there's that whole piece of like, if you're working from home, who really sees you? But I also find that if I let those days go where like I haven't washed my hair in 4 days and I've been throwing on the same romper or leggings and whatever, I don't show up in my business the same way. I'm not likely to hop on and do show my face on Instagram live. Whereas if I give myself half an hour to, and you know, you can fake it, right? You can throw a sweatshirt on and some earrings and some dry shampoo. Do the hair. Fake quite a bit online these days that you maybe couldn't if you were going into an office. But yeah, there's lots of ways to just make yourself feel a little bit more confident to show up and serve people. And I find it really is tied together with how I feel.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Keep doing what you're doing online because it's very inspiring. And I feel like, you know what it is? It's not, I'm not comparing myself to you. I just find it like inspiring and like, okay, yeah, that's right. That's something I want to do. I want to feel that good. I want to be able, like, I would love to be able to be like, today I feel like showing everybody my outfit. Like, that just doesn't happen to me. But it's really good as opposed to another person that I might compare myself to. I need to step back from that and be like, in some cases, that is her livelihood, right? Like, wearing those items, showing us those items, putting together that outfit, that is how she earns money, right? But I want to make sure you are encouraged to keep sharing because I love seeing your posts and I love seeing your outfits. And I'm also just like, okay, maybe like Zara or H&M when you share, I'm like, maybe that's my step up. Like, stop. Yes. And I've also like found, like you said, Canadian accounts, like I found things through you that I would have never otherwise found. So please keep sharing. Cool.
That makes me happy. I just think about how grateful I always feel when somebody has shared something that allows me to make a more informed choice. that's, you know, I think there's sometimes some misunderstanding or maybe a bad rap that like a quote unquote influencer is getting, but you're right. I look at these people as being like, wow, they had the confidence to go all in on something that they love talking about, and they save me the legwork. Like, do you know how many times I go over to Amazon and buy something because somebody showed me something that I had no idea you could even find on Amazon? Like, it's just, you know, again, it's that act of paying forward, something that saves another mom time of having to like jump in the car and go to all these stores to find that perfect stool she was looking for her living room. Yeah, I just think that there's so many cool ways to be able to like save people time and help them find things that fit in their life if you're willing to share. So thank you for sharing that feedback with me. That really means a lot, because it's often when it's something you're most passionate about, like we talked about with your painting, it's very easy to say, well, who really cares about this other than me?
I feel it's going to be like a really big day when I finally just like allow myself, I will do the art when I'm with the kids. But the day that I actually decide to do the art when the kids are at school, and actually that's going to be like a really big day.
Cool. That's awesome.
It's so weird, right? Like I can give myself time to go for a walk or like go get my hair done or whatever. I can do those things. There's something that seems so frivolous about giving myself time to paint.
Interesting.
So strange. Maybe I'll look at it like you said about your 12-hour date. You just feel like your cup is so full. I'm wondering if maybe I should just give myself, like, even if it's one day a month where it's just like, that's my day to film. Just look at it as self-care instead of painting. Maybe I have to like flick it around in my head so that I can like give myself permission.
It's absolutely self-care. Self-care looks like so many different things to so many people. And I think when I start to feel like guilty about a self-care decision or doing something that might look frivolous to somebody else, is that doing it every time we make those decisions, it does give another woman permission to do more of what brings her joy. And it's like, why do we feel guilty about things that bring us joy as mothers? I think because there's always so many other areas that our time and energy is needed. At least that's what our brains tell us about being a woman and being a mother, is that don't spend time on yourself because, you know, there's laundry to do and there's a closet to clean out and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. I want to make sure that, because you do have such great recommendations, I want to ask you, okay, what would be like the one thing that you think for fall, winter, people need to have in their wardrobe?
Oh, good question.
You're like, yeah, tell us.
I am such a lover of coats and jackets. I just feel like once the weather hits a certain temperature, right, where we live anyways, everywhere that you're going to go out, you're probably going to need to throw a coat on. And I think if you have a coat either that's in a color that just brings you so much joy, or it's like the coziest thing ever when you put it on, or you just, you know, it can be like a really nice wool structured jacket, but if you've got that on over top of your leggings and a basic t-shirt, and you've got some like really comfortable cool running shoes on, you can look super, super put together with just a cool jacket.
Okay. Okay. What about the home? Because you have like, obviously there's like so many wellness products that you sell, but also there's just other things that, what is your can't live without product for fall and winter for the home?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. Oh, I think like a good blanket. I don't know. I love going into scents and going to their blanket aisle where they're all hung on those hangers. And you know, when it's either like a color that just makes your heart go, ah, I love that, or the feel of it. And so easy to like drape over a couch or over your bed or curl up with in the morning. Yeah, I think a great blanket is such a great treat because it doesn't need to cost you much, but it can instantly make your room feel like a season.
I love that. That's a good one. Okay. I am like taking away that you have given me permission to stop and check in with myself and permission to change my mind if I need to, but also to just stay focused on the feeling that I want to have, like either with myself in my wardrobe or in my home. And I love those things. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so proud of the way you've been able to use your voice and share your stories. And like, you're just as beautifully skilled at kind of like looking at the past and painting the picture for people, because I think sometimes with women, it's so easy just to be stuck in the muck of something and not be able to look at how much of what we've gone through has actually prepared us to be able to make a decision or to feel confident about choosing a different path. And you're such a beautiful example of that. So thank you for showing up the way you are, using your voice and your words and your artistic abilities. I feel like there's so much more to come from you. And I'm just grateful we got to share this conversation this morning.
Thank you, Susan.
Thanks for listening to Embrace Simplified, the podcast. I hope you picked up some inspiration today and that you take action to feel your best. Can you guys do me a solid? If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. It helps more people find the podcast. If you know someone who needs to hear this episode, shoot them a text right now and share it. I love getting those notes from friends. And I also love seeing where you're listening from. So please keep tagging us online at Embrace Simplified. Don't forget to subscribe so you can catch new episodes as they drop. Until next time, I'm your host, Kirsty. Remember, you have it in you to simplify your life.